lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You clothe yourself with frail humanity, and you did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost.
You guys know it so far?
Yes, you did not wait for me to run near to you, but you clothe yourself with frail humanity, and you did not wait for me to cry out, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. to draw near to you. But you clothe yourself with frail humanity. It's easy to sing a song and not really hear a song, right? You did not wait for me to cry out to you. But you let me hear your voice calling me. It's him. It's all him, man. There's no me in that story. That's grace. And I'm forever grateful, Lord. I'm forever grateful to you. Yes, I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost.
You know, it's so simple here. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And how do I know? We got the Word. Man, I know it because He's in me. I know it because He shows up in my life. But man, if you ever doubt it, just grab the Word. Seal that, man. The enemy can lie to you and say, maybe not. We're so thankful we have the Word of God. And it says Jesus loves me. And it says that He takes all things and He works them together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His promises. Oh, I'm so glad He loves me.
Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so.
Love you.
praise you, Lord, I praise you, Lord, I praise you. Amen. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Oh, Lord, we need you.
Right next to it.
Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How do I love you? Jesus, I adore. I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. How I love
you. Oh, Father. Jesus, Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning. Move in us. Have your way with us. We love you. We lay our life before you right now. We lay our life before you. Take us. Woo. Use us. Fill us more deeply. Draw us closer to you and closer to each other. Woo. We do. We need you. We love you. We praise you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. What a good God. We're going to do Koinonia this morning. We're going to do it a little different. This is something we want to do at least once a month, where instead of Koinonia breaking up into little K groups, we want to bring that mic to whoever wants to share whatever God's put on your heart to share this morning. A need for prayer, a need for praise, a need for a new refrigerator, whatever it is, that you share that with the body here. And we're going to try to keep notes. Anybody got something they want to share? So we want to keep this book of remembrance. We've written only a few prayers down there. I want to do this more frequently and follow what God's doing. But right now, what do you want to share that God has done recently that you're like, I cannot believe it. I mean, we prayed about this. Let me share with you what God's doing. George, you want to share something?
Yes. Longtime friend. I don't know, 30, 40 years, some of that. Anyway, he's had some health issues, but three nights ago, early morning, three falls in a little cabin they live in. They live in Deadwood. Anyway, Johnny had fallen and was responsive but a little bit funny, and then they figured it all out. Anyway, they medevaced him to Rivers End Hospital, I think it is. It's got another name or two. It's a beautiful place. I was there yesterday. Anyway, had a stroke, fell, hit his head, had a little brain bleed. Stroke-wise, his face doesn't look real melted, but his right side is affected. He has feeling in it, but not a lot of emotion, you know. So it's all real early in the you know, diagnostic stage is how they're going to do it, but they're going to get him in some kind of physical therapy and, you know, that kind of stuff. He's already had some medical issues, yeah.
His name is Johnny?
Yeah, Johnny Callis.
All right, let's pray for Johnny. Father, we just want to lift up George's dear friend, Johnny. What a tough situation. We pray in the midst of that, that he finds comfort. The doctors see what's going on. They have discernment and wisdom. His family would have the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and so would he. In the midst of this, that you would speak to his heart, Lord, draw him nearer to you. You know, your word tells us that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, I pray for Johnny, that he draw near to you, that he hear your voice, and in the midst of this calamity, that he would find that peace which passes understanding. Guard his heart and his mind in Christ Jesus. And we just commit this situation to you. You can't wait to see what you're going to do. But it's in your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who else would like to share what's going on? Any praises? What's gone on? Good answers to prayer?
I was wondering how Jonathan, the man that was living in your guest house, was doing, because I prayed about it. So
Jonathan's doing really well. He's finally got comfortable doing what he's doing, you know, doing a new job he's never done before, traveling across the country, driving semi-truck. I'm pretty sure all of you have seen his truck out there a couple times. You know, now and then he'll be parking it out there for maybe 2 days, the very most, because, you know, he goes in here where his home base is for 2 days off, and that's when he comes and sees us, pretty much. But he just seems like he's more comfortable and more relaxed. You know, he's not so uptight, you know, not knowing what's going to be happening. You know, I mean, when he got caught behind the fire line, you know, going to one city to another area in California, I mean, it put him like 14 hours behind schedule. You know, he lost a lot of money and stuff like this, but he's learning these things. So we'll just see what happens, you know. Just keep praying for him, and I know he appreciates all of you, and he's a good kid. He really is. So, and he's doing great in our home, too. So
nice. Would you like to lift him up in prayer? We'll join you.
Okay. God, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to please be with Jonathan. Keep him safe. And focus on what needs to be done in his life. Hopefully he's keeping you in front of everybody in everything he does. Lord, Jonathan's a good kid, and you know, sometimes he needs directions. He needs your help. We love him so much, and we know that you do too, and things will be for the best. He has a desire to always want to be with his children. Give him the chance to be with them whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
He takes time, you know, in Salt Lake when drives through there to be with them. And just help him, please, Lord.
Amen. 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 Okay, that was good. Thank you very much for remembering that, Sharon. Nice to see prayers remembered and God moving. That's great. This is Koinonia. This is what we're designed for. Now listen, as we do this, something very unique is happening. You have to be aware of that. This is what we call magic, man and God in concert. I like that. Ever since Tyler said man and God in concert, it just sticks with me all the time. We're working together and God's moving and he's doing things. Don't miss this. You ladies were talking in your small group about should we expect healing? Where should we be on this? And it's such a wonderful question. That's a tough question. Most of what we're struggling with in our own personal walk with God is teaching from the past. And I think bad teaching. I think insufficient teaching. And some of you will disagree with a lot of the things that I say or that I'm trying to teach here. And that's okay. We don't need to be 100% in agreement. We just have to be 100% in unity, not agreement. We can disagree on a lot of stuff. As long as we love each other, we're unified in Christ. If you ever want to break into anything here, the password is unity in Christ. That's funny. And that was here before I got here, but I never changed those passwords because I really like that. Unity in Christ, that's what we're all about. That's our theme. In this discussion about healing, what is God's attitude toward it? What should be our attitude toward it? How do you do it? How come we're not seeing the kinds of healings we may have thought we'd see, or how it works? We don't know. We're just learning, right? But we know that we need to be open. We need to ask. It says you have not because you ask not, right? And I never saw anybody ever in all of Scripture not healed when they went to Christ and asked. Nobody. There's never been a rejected healing. Never. If you find one, let me know. Oh, you might say Paul. Thorn in the flesh. Remember that guy? Mm. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed to God 3 times that he'd take it away. And God says, my grace is sufficient. I got you on this. No biggie. The big mistake everybody makes is thinking that thorn in the flesh was some sort of physical ailment. There is no indicator that it's a physical ailment. Nothing. Most of the time when there's a thorn, the word thorn is used, it's almost always a human with a demonic spirit. Somebody trying to destroy the work of God. Look in the Old Testament. Comes about, I think, 3 or 4 times. In the New Testament, he's talking about somebody that's following Paul around trying to destroy his ministry. And Paul's like, just can't you stop this thorn in the flesh? This is driving me nuts. And God said, I got it. I'm going to work. It's okay. It's not a physical healing that he's asking for. No indicator of that. If you want to think it's a physical healing, good for you. Keep that up. And you'll get your answer. You're not going to see much healing. Because you think that God rejected a request for healing, and there's nothing in Scripture. Nowhere else. You don't ever see it. And yet we'll take that one, and then people will say, well, it was his eyes, because you see which large letters I write with. And he says to one group, you know, you guys are so loving and kind. If you would give me your eyes if you could. Oh, he has an eye issue, you know. I don't think that's a good Bible study either. That's not a good historic study. It's people adding stuff to Scripture or presuming things that aren't there. Be consistent with your Bible study. See what the passage says, see what the context says, and see what the broader story of Paul's teaching is. You have to see context. Context is king, right? So in this area of healing, we're trying to learn about it. What is it? What does God expect? How does he want us to approach it? Keep the discussion going. Keep the Bible study going. Dig deep. Look for answers. Wait on the Lord. And be careful that you're not just regurgitating old stuff that somebody once said. See why you have those thoughts. Go into the Word and see if you can back your thinking up with the Scripture. Not this much Scripture if it's the passage is this much. What is the context? And if the book itself that you're dealing with is about Gentiles and how they're functioning, or Jews, how they're functioning in the Gentile world or whatever, you got to know the context. And then get it down to that specific verse. You got to know the context, right? Context is king. And that's what we're trying to teach here, is context. So a lot of the stuff we are teaching, a lot of the stuff we're experiencing here at The Way is a little different, a little weird, a little like I don't hear that every day. Keep your ears open. You'll start hearing it more and more. I remember the first time I bought a VW. I couldn't wait to get that thing. I loved it. All of a sudden, everybody had a VW. Everybody in the world was driving a VW. I've never seen so many VWs. You ever notice that? You get a new car, that's what everybody's driving? You start noticing one thing. So we start playing this game, slug bug, you know? You see a bug, you get to punch. So I punched Ryan a few times, but she made my arm black and blue, and she kept seeing them, and they were everywhere. So we had to quit the game because we were just killing each other. But man, you start looking for them, they're everywhere. Same way with the Word of God. You start looking. Start listening. Start asking questions and listening for the answer, and you'll start finding over and over and over. In places you didn't even expect it. You're looking up something in Leviticus, and it has nothing to do with what you were talking about, and all of a sudden, there's a connection. You go, wow, That's why, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Be a workman of the word. Study it. Know how to rightly divide it. That's important too. That's just that little statement right there. Old covenant, new covenant. You better divide the word properly, because some stuff is still under the old covenant and you're still treating it like it's, or it's under the new covenant, you're treating it like it's old covenant. We're not in the old covenant. We're in the new covenant. It's a whole different relationship with God, a whole different structure. A covenant is a legal contractual agreement. We're under the new covenant. The old covenant was, if you will, I will. If you don't, I won't. New covenant is, I got it. That's a new covenant. Yeah, you stink. I got it. I love you. I'm meeting your need. We got this little book that I want you guys to check out. It's called God Wants You Well. It's one book of many books that we have on healing. But that's the first book that I read on healing that made me go, okay, I got to quit fighting this and just accept the fact that God wants you well. He wants you well. Unless he's going to teach you a lesson, then he's going to really grind your nose in it. No, that's not in Scripture. You can't find that. He will take evil that the enemy has sent, and he will turn it for good. But God's not going to burn your house down to teach you a lesson. Should have had some fire extinguishers. You know, he's not that kind of a God. Would you do that to your kid? If you wouldn't do that to your kid, your Father in heaven would not do that to you. Just understand that. If you think you've got compassion, kindness, and good sense, your Father in heaven has, infinitely more so. So if you wouldn't do that to your kid, surely your Father in heaven would not do that to you. He loves you. He's on your side. He wants good things for you. And sometimes he just blesses you for no reason. Whew, you ever done that to your kid? Just take him out and get him a peanut butter parfait or whatever you call it. Peanut buster. What was that thing? Peanut buster parfait. We all went out for our peanut buster parfait the other night. And George got it for us just because he's my Father in heaven. Just bless me. Thank you, Dad. Oh, God is good. So God loves you. He's on your side. Ask him for what you want. Don't be afraid to ask him for healing. Don't be afraid for him to take the pain away. Don't be afraid. You got your surgery coming up next month, but right between now and then, I guess he wants me to suffer and grow strong. No. He wants to heal you, and he might heal you before the surgery ever gets here. I've seen him do that over and over. So Betsy and I have... Again, you know this, I come from a very conservative background. I went to Multnomah, very conservative, cessationist theology. They don't believe that the sign gifts are for today, speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, healing. That's not for today. Of course, God will heal and can heal, but that's not the norm. I've been all over the world. It's the norm. It's not the norm here because we have insurance. I'm not kidding you. We rely on insurance, and God goes, you got that? Good. I was going to do it free. I was going to do it just right now. Shazam. God does that. So get used to the fact that God loves you. He's on your team. He's on your side. And you are the apple of his eye. What would he not do for you? He gave you his son. There's nothing he will withhold. Nothing. So now that's, we can go on and on about how we're not talking about blab it and grab it, name it and claim it and all that. We're talking about walking with God in humility and listening to his Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and don't be afraid to ask big. God likes it when we ask big. I'll teach a lesson on that. God loves it. Ask big. If you're going to ask for this, why not ask for this? God, heal my brother. Heal my whole family. You know, whatever. Don't be afraid. Got that? That's bonus. Not even part of the sermon today. Whew. Yes, sir.
I just want to bring you up to stay up to date on Sherry. A lot of people are wondering how she's doing, what she's doing. She's home in bed with a fever.
Fever?
Yeah. The other day, she came home from the doctor with a prescription. So the following day, I came into town and got it. It's a prescription for fever to mitigate that. So anyhow, she's now on these pills to help her fever go down. And she got up late yesterday afternoon and made a sandwich, but didn't really eat anything. And anyhow, she just is very weak, very discouraged because she can't get rid of this stuff. And she has a an infection that's causing the fever, and that infection is due to the injury that she had sustained years ago, and she needs surgery on this injury to sew up a hernia that's on her side that is allowing bile from her small intestine to get into her stomach, and that's what's causing this fever. Mm. So anyhow, she is waiting for surgery, which is supposedly scheduled in September. So we got another month to wait. Or is this September? This is September 1st today.
Yeah.
So sometime in this month, she's supposed to go back up to Portland, not back up, but way up to Portland, where there are three doctors who will perform this surgery for her. So that's where she's at, home in bed, sick. I talked to her this morning. She said, I just don't have the strength to get up and do it. So if we can pray for her, I'm sure she would appreciate that.
What should we pray? What are you hearing? What, family, this is Koinonia, what should we pray? I could think of a thousand things to pray, but I want to know what the Lord is saying. Well, let's just be still for a second. Father, how do we pray for our sister? What's the situation here? What's really going on? I don't know. This is a hard one. It's layer upon layer and year upon year. And we thank you for doctors and medicine and all that. And that's a good answer. And but show us, if there's something we're missing here, enlighten us. Put it on our heart to pray right now. Now, as I was praying that, did something pop in your mind? Did you go, I think we should be praying about this. Anything specific? Yeah, yeah. What were you going to say, Sharon? Okay, so that's radically different than that. That is a good prayer, and I would pray that prayer. That's what I would pray.
I didn't hear that.
A season, that she would enter a season of health.
Okay.
I never thought of such a prayer, but that's interesting. It is time, isn't it? It's time for Sherry to enter a season of health and vibrancy. And you know what? Listen, this is important when you're dealing with healing. You have to understand this. Is God in the surgeon's hands? Yes. Is he in the insurance system that allows that to happen? Yes. Is he in the fact that it's a month away? Yes, God's in all that. Can he heal her right now? Yes. So don't negate what God is doing because it's more practical. God works in very practical ways. That is not any less healing than a spontaneous, instantaneous prayer answered right now, a healing that takes place. And I've seen those. Betsy and I have both seen those, many of them. But it's not typically the norm. Typically the norm is time, or address the situation, or like you said, we're praying for the doctor, for steady hands, for wisdom, for discernment, all of that. And God's saying, yes, and I'm moving her to a season of healing, a season of health. So that just spontaneous word, I'm going to receive that from the Lord. He wants her in a spontaneous season of health. See, we all work together. We all work together. Anything you want to add to it, anybody? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to confirm that I believe that God sometimes will heal through his strength, through our prayers, but he also uses doctors to heal. And I experienced that. I had a retinal detachment, and I was coming home from work one day, and all of a sudden, half of my vision went black. I could not see. I mean, I could see out of what was still there, but my retina was detaching. It was coming off. And had I not had immediate medical surgery,
it would have snapped.
I'd have gone blind in one eye. And so the doctor said, go immediately to the hospital, and we will take care of this. So I went there, and they did surgery. They had to take all of the vitreous humor out of my eye. They filled it with air. They went in and spot welded all the way around my cornea.
Wow.
It took 6 months for that eyeball, which is now filled with air, to fill back up with what they call saline solution. My body produces that, and it eventually filled up. And there was a point in time where halfway through, I could see up above, because your eye inverts everything, right? But I have liquid down below, which with sight travels through a liquid. It doesn't travel through the air in your eye. So I could shake my head, and I would see this inverted lake, or, you know, washer.
Wow.
Sloshing back and forth. So I believe, yes, God heals, and I believe in prayer, asking for healing, but I also believe there are times when God uses doctors to heal.
Okay.
Not in physically heal, but they repair what ailments we have.
Yeah, yeah. So. I'm 100% on that, aren't you guys? It's all. It's both and. It's all of that. So, Father, we just lift up Sherry and Dawn and this time, and we look forward to a season of health, a season of restoration and strength. This has been a while. We pray it all gets taken care of and it goes away, however you choose to do that. And if you want to do it a different way, you're going to do that. And we thank you that you're a good God. You love us and you have a plan. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't make the mistake of saying, we do this. I don't know where we get this. Well, you know, God let her get sick or let this happen because he wants to teach her a lesson. No, 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 no. That's not what God does. You wouldn't do that to your kid. Come here. Put your face on this hot plate and we'll teach you a lesson. No. Yeah. Waffle face. No. Let me tell you something. God can take calamities and turn them to good. God can take and often will take calamities and teach us lessons. But he didn't bring the calamity to teach us that lesson. A lot of times, calamity happens in our life because we're just stupid. We make bad choices. Can God use it for good? Can God use it for good? Is that what you're asking? That's it. That, say it that way. Absolutely good can come of it. Absolutely God can take all things and turn them to good. But don't think God ordered this so that the good will come. He doesn't do that. That's it. That's a biblical truth. The other one is a demonic truth that's not a truth whatsoever. So, good stuff. This is good. This is what we need.
Uncle who was in a head-on crash, his name is Tim Thompson, and he was killed.
Oh.
And then they have a Forrest Mears who is dying. Forrest Mears is in hospice right now, and he's dying. And
wait, is he part of the wreck?
No, this is a different family member. But Ron's going to be heading down there, and then his mom is her memory's not is getting worse. It's not that great either right now. So they need prayer for that, and then Ron is going down to Montana. So pray for his trip there and back, and that everything gets taken care of.
When's he leaving? So,
I'm not sure. Wednesday.
That's a lot going on. Oh, anybody? Who wants to pray for that situation? Anybody? Nick, are you saying yeah? Do you want to lead us in that? No? No? Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I'm going to pray for that. Anybody want to lead us in some group prayer here? It would be great.
Father, we just pray for Ron and for Anita and for Ron's friend. I know that they've had a long relationship, and it's been a little bit intermittent. I was talking to Ron yesterday, and he was telling me about this. And so we just pray that your hand is in everything. We know that you did not cause this, but we know that there's opportunity here for Ron to share with his extended family and with his friends what God has been doing in Ron's life. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit will just work through Ron in all the people who he meets, that they will see the love of Christ in him. So we ask for healing for his friend. We ask for peace, should that not be your choice. And joy, and just a wonderful thing. I do not know if his friend is saved. So I pray for opportunity for salvation, and I pray that that's already done.
Mm.
Father, you are an amazing God, truly, truly amazing. And this body of believers here loves you, and we trust you. So we ask out of that belief for success here, for the wonderful thing that you are doing through all of this,
yeah.
That you've taken some horrible circumstances and that you're going to turn them to good. And we don't know what that good's going to be.
Oh, Lord.
But we pray for it. And we add our prayers to Ron and Anita's prayers so that his whole body of friends here, his body of brothers and sisters here, is in support of him. We just give you thanks and we give you glory for the work that you are doing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Anybody have Romans 8:28? Who can grab that and read it to us? Romans 8:28.
For we know.
Huh?
For we know that God works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purposes.
That's it?
I
love God.
So.
And are called according to his purposes.
Yes, ma'am.
That's important. You have to know that there is a qualification for that. We all think God works all things for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. What? There's a qualification in there. You have to know that. Don't read it in a way that's not written. It says God will work all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Some people don't love God. Some people reject God. Some people hate God. Some people are doing anti-God stuff. Now, God is gracious, and God can break through, and God can deal with people like that. But the promise is for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's us. You're covered. God has got your back. Now, if you don't love God, you're not called according to his purpose. You're not part of the plan. Now, you can be part of the plan. How? Believe. Step in. It's your choice. He's going to give you that choice. We're going to see this in Ephesians. You're going to see it. Those who are in Christ. In Christ. Everything happens in Christ. If people aren't in Christ, good luck. I don't want to live that life. I'm sad for people who aren't in Christ. I have peace. I have joy. I have protection. I have God on my side. I have my family on my side. How would you like to be in this world without Jesus? How would you like to be in this world without the family of God? No, thank you. I don't want that. So I'm hiding out in the kingdom because it's a safe place to be. Imagine, remember those old diving bells? You know what I'm talking about? A cast iron thing that people would get in. Not before there were submarines, there was diving bells, remember? You get in there and they pressurize it and they send it down to the deepest parts of the ocean and you have a little window you can look through and you're in this diving bell. Think about this. You're in the ocean with thousands of pounds of pressure on you that would crush you in an instant. Gone. But you're being protected because you're in the bell. And in the bell, you can do experiments. In the bell, you can communicate. In the bell, you can do what you're designed to do. Outside of that bell, you're going to get crushed. It's over. That's one of my illustrations for today's talk. But I love that because we're in Christ. And this whole thing of in Christ, 90 times in the book of Ephesians. 90 times in Christ. 13 times or 7 times in the first 13 verses. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You were saved in Christ. You were predestined in Christ to be, you know, blessed. But in Christ, you got to be in the bell because this world will crush you. This world will destroy you. You have no air. You have no life. You have no purpose. But inside the bell, God's love, inside of Christ, and we are in Christ. That's the qualification. Is that your phone? That's funny. Oh, that was back there. All right. Do you understand that? You are in Christ. if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, man, you're just playing a religious game, and good luck with that, because that doesn't go well for anybody. And suddenly you realize after all these years, I don't really know him. Suddenly you realize I you're like that person in Hebrews 6, I think it is, where he says, you know, having tasted the good things of God, having rubbed shoulders with the good people of God, having hung out with the family of God, but they didn't have Christ. They weren't saved. Got your timers all going. Tell Mike to stop. I'm making a conscious decision as we're talking here. We're going to jump into Ephesians 1. Finally, in the book of Ephesians.
No.
Finally. Yes, I'll show it to you. And but I keep hearing rumblings through the body. And listen, God's called me to be one of the leaders of this church, to be a shepherd. And I'm listening, and I'm trying to be careful. You know, we have a little dog. Have you seen our little dog? You know? You haven't seen our dog? Go get the dog. No. And she is so cute, and she's so smart, and I just taught her to stretch on command, stretch. And she goes, it's so cute. Stretch, Dulcie. Dulcie means sweetie, sweetheart. You know, Dulcie in Italian. And but we have a little dog, and we let her out, right? And we're teaching her that's dangerous, and that's free play. So she can go run. She can do her little thing back there. But I'm shepherding her. I'm watching her. I'm making sure. And the other day, I hid out behind the trash cans, and she went out, and she started to head down the road, and went, Pat, no! You know, scared her. So now she doesn't go that way anymore. And why? Because I'm her shepherd. I'm protecting her from evil, protecting her from danger, protecting her from that. But here, go play. Go play. It's that whole field. She can go play. She's protected. That's what I want for us. That's what the shepherds, that's what we want. We want to protect you. And we want to create for you a place where it's safe. In Christ, it's safe. You're in Christ. You're in the bell. Go play. Go be who you are. God has designed you with wonderful gifts and wonderful power, wonderful abilities. Go play. But if you're not safe, if you're not in Christ, it ain't play. It's a scary world. If you're not in Christ, it's work. In Christ, it's a joy. Doing the things of God is a joy when you're in Christ because you're empowered, you're motivated, you're transformed. You are in Christ. And I don't know each one of you very personally. I know a lot of you, most of you, almost everybody here. But the question I want to ask is, are you really a Christian? You sound like a Christian. You act like a Christian. You hang out with Christians. Are you really a Christian? That is the question. And don't minimize that question. You might have been a Christian for 30 years now. You made a commitment at camp once. You made a commitment at church. You walked the aisle. You said the prayer. You heard Billy Graham. Your bus is away. You come on down right now. That was sort of close. That's not really Billy Graham. He knows Billy. Listen, I don't care what prayer you prayed. I don't care what aisle you walked down. I don't care what summer camp you went to. What I care about is where are you and God right now? Is it alive? Is it legit? You can't lose it if it's real. It's really yours. If you got saved, you're saved forever. It's locked in. It's eternal. Why? Because being saved is a work of God. There is a new you. You've been transformed, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, old things have passed away. All things have become kainos. Transformed, new, right? If you're kainos, you're in. Now listen, folks. This is the pastor in me coming out right now. Don't play church. Don't play religious games. If you're in Christ, you're full of the Holy Spirit. You're walking in His kingdom. You're walking in His light, and He's going to use you a million ways. It's awesome. There's peace and joy and power in Christ. If you're religious, there's some benefits. If I wasn't a Christian, I still would want to hang out with Christians. They're safe. They're smart. They're cool. They're not running around doing drugs and all that usually. You know what I mean? It's a better crowd. I'd rather date a Christian girl than a worldly girl, right? Don't drink, don't cuss, don't chew, and don't date girls that do, right? There's safety in God's kingdom, but that doesn't make you saved. It doesn't make you saved. What makes you saved is that you have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that you've given your life to him, and you've said, no holds barred, take me, I'm yours. Whatever that means, I'm yours. That's Christianity. Anything else is just good intentions. It's not safety. You're not in the bell. You're not in Christ. And you're going to get crushed by the cares of this world. You're going to get crushed by the things that come. Folks, don't play church. Second thing is, if you are a Christian, and I'm going to assume you all are, and you know Christ, and he is in you, and you've given him your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all to Jesus, what are you doing? And you're sitting around, spending most of your time watching TV and scrolling. Where's your heart? He wants to use you. You don't come to church to get. You come to church to give. And in the process, you will get, let me tell you. But you come to give. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. Remember Ephesians 4. It is he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for works of service, that they might minister one to another, build each other up, come to unity in their faith and in their knowledge of Christ, right? Faith and knowledge of Christ, they go together, faith and knowledge of Christ, and they might come to maturity. Did you see that process? It's a process. Step, 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 step. Maturity. What? Let's go right back here. Equipping of the saints for works of service, that you might minister one to another. I'm not the minister. We're the minister. Right? I'm the coach. Gave some to be coaches to equip the saints for works of service, that you might minister one to another. Not minister to the world. It didn't say that. Minister one to another, that you might come to unity of the faith, unity together in Christ, and you might come to maturity. You're never going to mature if two things aren't happening. One, if everybody's not using their gift, and if you're not putting yourself in a place to mature. I'm taking today's service to tell you that. I'm telling you, I stayed up till 1:30 last night preparing my slides for this morning, and I'm not going to use them. But I want you to know these things. I want you to experience true koinonia. I want you to believe that God hears you. I want you to expect healing. And I want you to know who you are. And I want us to grow together. I mean, that's my passion. That's all I want. I'm living in a trailer. Why? Because I love you guys. Because I love the Lord. And he's called me to this family. Someday, the trailer may be more than that. Someday, we may end up with a tent, a double wide. I mean, that would be fine. I don't care, because I have an incredible wife and daughter who think this is fun. Weirdos. But we actually do think this is fun. It's fun being here. It's fun doing the stuff we get to do. But we do it all so that we can do what I'm doing right now. Tell you who you are in Christ. Live it out together. Make mistakes honestly and in public together, and walk through those mistakes to unity and maturity. How many of you know I'm going to make mistakes? How many of you know I'm going to hurt people's feelings, or I'm going to say things wrong, or I'm going to... How many know that? That I'm a human being, and so are you. And I expect you will make mistakes, say things wrong, hurt somebody. That's okay. What does it matter? It doesn't matter. And we don't have to believe the same things. We don't have to say it all just the same. I'm going to teach what I'm going to teach, and hopefully you'll like it, and hopefully you'll, you know, go, yeah, I like that too. Some of the stuff, no. That's okay. I just want you to know who you are in Christ and you to walk it out. And we can disagree, but we need to be unified, right? So that's the whole goal of being here, is unity, growth, and maturity. And we're getting there. Now, this is not who we're going to be in a couple months. My sister wants to move here. She loves you guys. She's like, I got to move there. I've never seen a body like that. I've never met so many cool people. Yeah, well, when are you moving here? She was trying to move here right now. But it looks like she won't be here, if she comes, for 8 months. Perfect. 8 months, man. Think what we'll be in 8 months. Think what this church will be. as we continue to do what we're doing, and right now we're laying foundations, right? We're putting things together. We actually bought a camera that's going to go up there. So we will be live streaming with a real camera. What does that matter? Dude, there are so many things that matter. I want to have pastors meet me in that room around a table with microphones and do a podcast of the pastors in this town. Get to know each other. What's your vision? What's God doing in your church? How are you doing it? How can we pray for you? How can we bless each other? Yeah, kind of the Sutherland podcast. I'm building that. I got the gear, and I'm slowly putting it together. Why? Because that's how we take part in the community. That's how we take part in God's kingdom. A lot of stuff is just about, but not yet. 8 months from now, I hope it's all in place. But we're slowly getting things in place. Silly things like mic stands and music stands and stuff as we're putting together a worship band that works. Our worship band works. Wait, it's going to get real. It's going to get, but we're practicing. We're getting better, right? We're figuring each other out. That's hard work. But this church is taking shape. You're part of it. You're laying a foundation right now. And you folks have been so gracious and kind to me, you've allowed me to figure out who I am here, figure out who you are here, and most of us are friends. We like each other. We like hanging together. I just thought it was so much fun after worship practice the other night where I think it was George or Glenda said, let's go to Dairy Queen. I'm like, I haven't been to Dairy Queen in 50 years. I'm like, Dairy Queen, that sounds fun. Wait, I'm on keto. Who cares? Let's go to Dairy Queen. And I felt like a kid. It was so much fun. And we got to jump in their car and drive down to Dairy Queen and order a peanut butter parfait. Isn't that cool? Who gets to do that? You know, out of the blue, Tyler takes me out to a sandwich over at the, that was so much fun, by the way. I've been there 10 times since then, at Smitty's. Smitty's. Is that what it's called? Hanging out spontaneously, having food together, sharing a moment is powerful. You know how many times I got to go to Don's house when I was just coming here and coming here, sleeping in his wonderful spare bedroom and eating meals with him? He's one of the best hostesses I've ever met. So good. Very good with me and my schedule. Loved it. So I'm getting to know everybody and getting to know a little deeper. I feel like I'm at home. I do. I have never felt this way in all the years of ministry that we've done. I feel like we're doing something incredibly special, incredibly unique, and incredibly in God's timing. I believe he's getting ready. Now I'll give you a little bit more. I believe the election is going to change our world. I don't care who wins. I don't care what happens. Our world is going to change in November. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything is going to change. Our economics will change. Our global position in the world will change. The way we relate to each other, everything's going to change. That's soon. We want to be ready. There's going to be people in panic. There's going to be people lost. There's going to be people in great need. We just heard about this wreck that happened for this family. They're in great need. That's calamity. Who's there for them? We want to be able to meet people's needs that way. And we can't do it because we have to do it together. No one person can meet all those needs. Every single one of you is absolutely essential to what God is doing here in Sutherland and here at The Way. Absolutely essential. You have various gifts that are super duper special. And I'm looking at Mason, young man in Christ. He can change the world. One kid in Christ. Well, I'm too young. Not really. Remember David? He was a kid. Remember Timothy? He was a kid. Remember these guys? They changed the world. Do you realize every one of those disciples was a teenager? Yeah. Andrew, Peter, all those guys, Nathaniel, they were all teenagers. Do you realize that? Think about it. If you're watching the Jesus thing on TV, what's it called? That Jesus show that's been on the last 2 years? The Chosen. Great. Love The Chosen. They're a little older. The only one that kind of sort of has the attitude of probably what they were like is Peter. He's kind of young and impetuous and kind of crazy, you know. And maybe Matthew. He's a little, you know Matthew. He's autistic and kind of scared and he's very young. They were kids. And they changed the world. Those 11 people changed our world, and they were teenagers. So I look at Mason and I go, that's potential. That's a world changer right there. Some of you guys are a little beyond. No, just kidding. God can work through all of us. And I'm telling you, don't overlook youth. That's what, remember Paul says to Timothy? Don't let them look down on your youthfulness. You're a mighty tool in God's hands. And every single one of us is. So look around you. This is our family. This is our core. Nothing's going to change. We're building from here. This is the core. God is going to build this church. And Dave and I would love to see these. If all of these chairs were full, we'd have 75, 80 people here. If all these chairs were full. So what? You can do a lot of ministry with 80 people. A lot of ministry. A lot of things are covered. Julie didn't show up today. I'm trying to figure out how to do songs in a key that makes sense to you guys and in a book that I've never played out of. We're trying to do, what are we going to do about slides? And what now? One person's sick, it doesn't take much to derail our train. We need everybody doing something and on board. And the things that some of you know, some of you don't know, we've got guys like George who still amazes me, doesn't slow down, and he does stuff that a young man would not even attempt. He's up in the attic and he's doing stuff, and we still have a lit cross that I love. Every time I see it, it was off the other night and I was so sad. We got Barry who climbed up in the attic in there and wired a stove. Now we can have better potlucks. Now we get to have breakfast. It's so unbelievable that these guys can do this kind of thing. Behind the scenes, how many of you didn't know that that's going on? You know, Don has come over here hundreds of times and mowed the lawn. Many of you have. I'm not trying to single. You know, I look at Judy. Judy comes here and she vacuums and she cleans and she beautifies and she straightens. Shawnee does the same thing. And they have kind of a tag team between them. It's fun. It's awesome. There are so many of you doing things behind the scene. We get Tyler coming out of his busy schedule to lead worship once every other week or whatever it is. I love it. It's fantastic. Thank you for using your gifts. Thank you, Amy, for putting up with all the stuff we ask of you guys, you know, and all, I mean, it's a lot. George and Glenda are always doing stuff. Don and Sherry are always doing stuff. Sharon, you've been such a blessing. So every one of you, and Nelda, we're just getting to know you, and your girlfriend is phenomenal. She's a mighty, mighty prayer warrior. And I'm telling you, God is doing stuff here, you guys. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. I don't feel like I'm the pastor of an old church. I feel like I'm a pastor of a brand new church. I really do. I believe this church just started. We just planted it. We're just figuring out how to lead it. We're asking God for workers because the fields are white for harvest. And what does he say? Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Lord, there are souls, and I believe that we need to get things in place before November. I think our world's going to change. Right? They tried to change it last month when they tried to kill the president. Imagine our world right now if that bullet would have hit its mark. Imagine this close from changing your whole future. Your economy would have changed. There would have been martial law. There would have been civil war, I believe. There would have been things that you can't imagine. We're this far away. That's what would have happened. This far. God in his providence had this guy look. Save the world. Whatever side that was. But do you see how fragile this whole thing is? Now, do you see your role? Yes, we come here and we have good times with each other. We have prayer times. We have Bible studies. We're going to have tri-tip. Thank you, Jesus. Lots of stuff. I love coming here for worship practice. Love it, love it, love it. I love studying the Word. I love it, love it. I love teaching the Word. I love this body. I like what we're doing. We all got to be focused. Figure out what's got to go. Clean up your schedule. Make some room for others. I know you all do, but you know what I'm saying. Things are going to change. So we want to teach you the Word, remind you who you are, learn about this healing stuff. We need it. We need to know who we are. We need it. We can't play with this. We've got to dig deep. If you've got a view on this, share it. Let's learn. Let's learn about healing. Let's learn about the gifts, because without them, we're just sitting ducks. God, teach us. So that's it. We're going to take communion now. Communion is a symbol of something grand, something amazing, something real. Communion is us communing with the Lord and communing with each other. And as we take that, it's the body broken for us. The curtain ripped so that we can enter the Holy of Holies. That's the body of Christ. The curtain ripped, giving us entrance into the Holy of Holies. No restrictions, no barriers. You get to go into the most holy place of holy places and commune with God Almighty. Can you believe that? That's who we are because of Christ. And the blood which cleanses us, atones for our sin, that blood which reminds us of the stripes that he bore, and by his stripe we are healed. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's so much in that communion. We take communion every week at the elders' life group, and it gets deeper and deeper. How can it? We've taken it so many times. How can it get deeper and deeper? I know exactly what's going to be said. I know exactly what it's about. And yet every week it's new. Every week it's fresh. As we take communion together, and we're going to do old school. We're going to pass out the little miniature cups, and we're going to pass out the little crackers, which is real matzah, cracked up. Pass that out, and we're going to take communion together. So when you get the cup, hold on. When you get the cracker, hold on. We'll do it together. And in the meantime, let's pray. Then we'll pray over each element, and then we'll close it. Does that sound good? So, Don and Dave, will you guys come right here? And we'll just kind of do this in a very stoic way. But as these guys are getting ready to pass that stuff out, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that we get to do this. I thank you for these men who are passing out these elements, which are just crackers and juice, and yet it represents your body broken for us. It represents your blood poured out for us. It represents the miracle of being born again, the miracle of new life in Christ. And so as we do this, walk us through it, bless us, guide us. Whew, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, pass that out. Don't forget, hold on to the cup and hold on to the cracker. Again, you must save your tears till then. Have faith that I will win. I can see it in your eyes, the fear you feel inside. You still do not know why. Why that I must die today? Soon it will be clear just why I had to go. The victory is here. Let prophecy unfold today. This bread, it is my body. This wine, it is my blood. When night falls, I will leave here. Just remember what I've said and done. Soon it will be clear just why I had to go. The victory is here. Let prophecy unfold today. Soon it will be clear. just why I had to go. The victory is here. Let prophecy unfold today. No need for all your tears. My brothers, all is well. You see, it's not the end. It's just the first farewell. See, it's not the end. It's just the first farewell. He's coming back. And they didn't know it. They couldn't figure it out. They wanted to hold on to him. Let go of my hand. Let go of my hand. Because I need to go. But I'm coming back. It's just the first farewell. As we take this bread and this cup, remembering that first supper, how they must have felt. What? You're leaving? What? What are you talking about? We love you, Jesus. You can't leave us now. Let go of my hand. I'll be back again. You see, it's not the end. It's just the first farewell. Whoa. But we look forward to his return. That's what excites us. He's not gone. He's just away for a bit. And yet, he says, if I don't go, I can't send the Comforter. If I don't go, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And because he left, now he's with us. Because he left, he's seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies, and he's there for us, our advocate against the enemy's lies, the enemy's attacks. But the Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's being in the bell. That's being in Christ. Oh, we have that. As we take this cup, as we take this bread, we've just got to realize that this is so much more real, so much more important, so much more meaningful than you can just ever imagine. And as we sink into it, embrace his sacrifice, embrace the reality that had he not done that, we wouldn't have what we have now. He paid the price. Oh, so with this bread, it is his body broken for us. He took the punishment we deserved upon himself. And it was grueling, it was deforming, it was awful. They say that they whipped him with a cat of nine tails and ripped his flesh from his bones. And it was hanging. His entrails were exposed. And this is what he went for. He didn't even look human, they said. You couldn't recognize him as a human. It was so, so deforming. That's what sin does. It deforms. It destroys. Ugh. And yet he took that upon himself that we might be set free from our sin, set free to live in his glory, set free to live in his kingdom. And so as we recognize that, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this little piece of cracker, this little bread, your body broken for us, the greatest sacrifice in all the world. We receive it right now with thankfulness in Jesus' name. Let's take this cracker together. One of the funnest things in leading communion like this is to hear you all crunching. It's like rain falling. It's just crunch, crunch, crunch. It's unity. It's the body of Christ. It's communion. Thank you, Jesus. And after supper, he took the wine and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." New covenant, new contract, new relationship, new way of relating. It's all grace, grace, and grace. Not grace plus, not grace and something else. It's grace. You bring nothing to the table but thankful heart. That's it. It's his blood that cleanses us, his blood that paid for our atonement, and it's his blood that brings us healing. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you, and we take this cup with a glad heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Just a little thimbleful of life, of power. Receive that. Let it wash over you. Remember, as we come together and we take this, remember, we are the body because of his broken body. We are one in Jesus because of his blood, and we share that blood together. And as we go out from here, I really pray that we go out and we play. I mean, just go play. We're going to go have a meal together. We're going to celebrate life together. Hopefully, you can put down some of your projects long enough to just go and have some fellowship. We're going to eat some delicious tri-tip, which came from Santa Maria, California. And we're going to celebrate being the body of Christ. So come hungry and excited and ready to fellowship, right? Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the thanks. The prayers we lifted up today, we know you hear. We know you're acting. Move swiftly, Lord. We pray for Sherry, all that's going on. We pray for that family in the midst of their calamity. We pray for John. Johnny and his future and what you're doing there. And all the other things, Lord, that we've lifted up to you, we thank you that you heard those. They're in the book of remembrance. Thank you very much, Glenda. And we look forward to seeing what you have in mind. Bless each person, Father, as we go out, that we don't leave here and it's over, but we leave here and it starts afresh, a new week, a new chance to do awesome things in Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.